That's it. Shall we get started?
Yeah.
Shall we get started?
Yeah.
All right, it's Sunday the 6th of July. We're live at the Museum of Comedy. Please welcome to the stage, Alexi Sale! It's Alexi Sale. It's Alexi Sale. Look at
yeah,
everyone.
You keep getting the laughs. I can't be fucked up. Welcome to Berlin in 1930.
Yeah. Yeah.
That guy Hitler is just, I'm a bit worried about that Hitler guy. And his crackdown on free speech. I'm thinking he's not a good guy.
Oh, shit, they're at the door. Yeah.
I quoted there's a Bertolt Brecht poem, and keep him going with the Weimar Republic theme, which I'm going to call the motto, which I'm going to do. I'll try this out. Don't do my version of it. It's called The Motto, and it goes, in the dark times, will there be laughing? Yes, there will be laughing about the dark times. Direct action is now terrorism.
Yep. Had a very depressing phone call with you yesterday. Fucked, man. We're fucked.
Fuck it. Yeah.
Let's address.
We in no way support any prescribed organizations or urge you to support them. And quite right, Mark Rowley was on the TV today on Koonsberg saying that Palestine Action is now prescribed and it's against the law. And they will pursue anybody who's a member of Palestine Action or supports Palestine Action with vigor because it's against the law. So's nicking my fucking bike! Didn't pursue that with fucking vigor, did they?
Yeah, was,
yes.
They give you a number for the insurance.
Fuck. A lady on Instagram wrote, me quoting Instagram post, sorry, but just wrote, I got burgled and called the police and they said to her on the phone, what do you expect us to do about that? Yeah.
Yeah, the fucking police.
But vigor and, you know.
Yeah.
For, so it's fucked. We're standing in, we have to be careful what we say
what we
and
do.
It means we yeah. can't be free and express ourselves. Isn't that fucking wild, really?
It is. I think we can say that, I don't know if you can criticise that it is, that the prescription of Palestine Action is considered, many, the United Nations and various other people have considered it an overreach. You can also say that Yvette Cooper has received substantial funds from the Israeli lobby and so.
Yeah.
Make of that what you will.
Yes, they came to that decision without the full. What was it you were telling me backstage? There was the
what?
How the information they had to create to prescribe Palestine Action as a terrorist group. They only
all they consulted with was the Israeli embassy. And do you want Palestine Action? But yeah. Yeah, well, no, shall we? Shall we? Will you ban Palestine Action? Oh, go on, all right. But obviously they didn't consult with any other stakeholders, with any, you know, Liberty or Amnesty. It was only the Israeli embassy and I think Elbit Systems, the arms company. And possibly there's a group within Labour called We Believe in Israel.
Oh, I wonder what they
are. Which also, also subtitled We Believe in Genocide.
Yes.
That initial rush of enthusiasm is now worn off. So,
well, it's just wild think. It doesn't matter. It's not. Just wild think what cucks our government is for another country like We used to have an empire.
Yeah. Well, it's also...
you know? Isn't it a bit wild?
You'll get more laughs than me. I don't like this. yeah. They also say, people say Israel's an ally. It's an ally. But we just sort their shit out for them. When I was in the Falklands, I didn't see no fucking IDF.
Oh, yeah.
When I was yomping to Port Stanley... In the imaginary, when I was in the imaginary SAS.
Sorry.
slip of the tongue there. Imaginary, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I ain't no fucking idea when I was in the imaginary Falklands. I fucking were. I was fucking. Oh, jeez.
Let it out, Lex. Come on.
Still get flashbacks.
This was
a flashback to a terrible play I saw at the Hampstead Theatre Club. Nothing to do with the Falklands, but fucking hell, that was pretentious. I'm in a supermarket, you know. Suddenly get frightened. As of a pretentious play I saw at the Hampstead Theatre Club.
While we're on the topic, is it worth mentioning that? Well, it's an interesting question. I don't know where you got it from.
It was Linda's idea. So Linda says that holding the signs and I support Palestine action is obviously against the law. Is now a criminal act. But if you support somebody who holds a sign saying I support Palestine action, is that a crime? Or if you support somebody who supports somebody who holds a sign saying I support Palestine action, is that it doesn't really work, does it, Linda? Really?
You have
to
sold it
You think if I kept going for like half an hour, if you support somebody who supports somebody who supports somebody who holds a sign saying I support Palestine action, is that a crime? Or if you, it's not, they're gonna, I don't know. Yeah.
I didn't even realize it was a joke. I just thought it was an interesting question. When do the handcuffs come out? So yeah, that's where we're at today, and we appreciate you all being here, though.
The other thing that's happened, I suppose, since we were here last is, of course, our fame on our TikTok.
We recorded our fame on TikTok,
dance videos, which I assume you've all, what are we up to now? Have you checked numbers? It's like 5 million or something views.
Oh
like,
easily
5 million
on Instagram. Funny, we made TikTok videos which blew up on Instagram, and we have millions and millions of views of people from all over the world, but a lot of South American Marxists, you know, fucking loving it, fucking loving it.
I suppose it is a bit much to expect them to come to the Museum of Comedy.
Where is this reflected in the podcast list?
No. It's so annoying because you've got five, six million, are we, something like that?
Yeah.
On these videos. And, I think the figures on the podcast are when you come down.
But look here, someone shared your dance and it says... El nombre de los pasos tiene un mensaje. El paso de la fiera acorralada es la rabiblancada. Just written a little essay in Spanish about your dog. Do you understand? You have to.
The name of the steps has a message. The steps of no, I don't know what Rabbi Blancard. I don't know what the hell that means. Su privilegio mediante in the middle of Fuerza Bruta. No, Amy speaks Spanish.
Any
here.
Spanish speakers, preferably in the front row? No.
I can El Paso de la Fiera acorralada es la Rabbi. Blank after you. I talked about this on a recent podcast, and I have got a terrible inclination to pretend to speak foreign languages.
Yes, you do. Yeah.
Well, the language is...
What do you mean, Habibi? I've never heard you talk in a different language.
Shukran.
Okay.
Shawarma. I am...
Shukran shawarma.
Shukran shawarma, Habibi.
Come round.
Yalla.
There it is.
Kasumak. I was reminiscing. I don't think it was... I think when I was in Spain about pretending to speak Spanish. And I was doing it... A movie in Spain, a terrible, terrible movie called Siesta. I don't know if I've ever talked about that.
Multiple times.
But yeah. But I haven't talked about it. All right, so I was being driven.
But not in this story,
I was
sure.
I was being driven back to my hotel like early one morning because we'd been filming at night. And I think I was with Jodie Foster.
Oh.
And she's lovely. And... And we were driving back, and there was cars weaving about in front of them. I wanted to say to the driver, borrachos, drunks. But I said, baracas, which is sheds. See, sheds, yeah. And I realized later that day.
Who did you play in Siesta?
I played...
Is that the one when you were the cab driver? Me.
Yeah, I'm the cab driver. Is also the Angel of Death. It's a film that starred amazing cast list. Martin Sheen, Ellen Barkin, Gabriel Byrne, Grace Jones, Julian Sands, Rossellini, Jodie Foster... And as everybody had their name taken off the film, I moved up. So that finally it was a film, De Alexis Sale. It was shocking. I mean, I think you probably see it on YouTube, right?
I wanna.
Tell
what's the plot? Give us the synopsis.
Ellen Barkin wakes up on the edge of an airfield outside Madrid with blood on her dress, and she doesn't know how she got there. So she recreates the last 3 days of the she's picked up by this cabbie and. Who's me with metal teeth, and but he's also sort of the Angel of Death, and I'm also bad at accents as well as not speaking foreign language. I can't even do the accent properly. So I've got a line in Spanish right at the start, and I'd learned it from my friend Oscar, who's Argentinian. Not really knowing that Argentinian Spanish is kind of ridiculous, really. So I turn to her, she gets in my cab, and I say, "Te puedo llevar al centro, pero se cobra más los domingos." I can take you to the center, but it costs more on Sundays. And then I say in English, "You got money?
No,
you got money." I got an enormous laugh in the press screening. It is in no way a comedy.
fucking hell.
It turns out in the end that she's dead. She has but her and Gabriel Byrne got off with each other on that film. They were also improvising lines. And remember they made up a line. She says, because he's a circus owner. She says, "Remember, we made love in the lion's cage." And the lion was in there. And... It's a shocking, terrible film. Very pretentious, but also interestingly cultural kind of blindness. One of the producers was a guy called Gary Kerfest, who was manager of Talking Heads, and we were filming one day in Madrid Airport, and he was standing there in this like cowboy hat with like a kind of silver turquoise thing in the middle, and a
yeah.
I've talked about this before, with kind of feathers on it. And he said, so we're standing in mid, yeah, I've talked about them. Anyway, it doesn't matter. And he says, "That's weird." He says, "Everybody wears these in Mexico."
Yeah.
I mean, we're in fucking Madrid, the most sophisticated city in Europe, you know, and he thinks everybody's going to be wearing a fucking sombrero.
What a numpty. Alexi. There's a question here. Sergio asked on the Patreon. The Tour de France is starting.
Yes.
It started yesterday. Are you going to be doing any commentary again?
I don't think so. Well, they haven't asked me.
When was it that happened?
It was in lockdown. It's 2020, I think. I commentated on the stage at the Tour de France.
Now, with everything going on, Manuel, are you still tuning in to the Tour de
France?
We've
recorded it. We haven't.
We
recorded last night's stage because it was on late, and then there's.
You've recorded it at home.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, on Thursday. So we recorded the podcast that dropped yesterday on Thursday, and I was so frustrated because it was the following day. Palestine Action got prescribed.
Yeah.
And I think Zara announced.
That's the other thing. Yeah.
And then I have to like edit the show while all this news is coming out. I'm like, oh, this is instantly irrelevant, this podcast we've made. But what are your thoughts on the new party? Zara's.
Well, first of all, just to go back a bit to the Tour de France, we had.
good. We got plenty of time.
The last podcast we talked to a Dutch guy that's
cycling across the world,
and so that gave me a chance to do my racist Dutch accent.
Yeah,
hot per board, 20 guilders to ride my tram.
Yep,
zoop juttermilk, juttermilk.
There it is.
Yeah,
yeah, but I gave you a bit of a scolding.
Yeah, he took it in very good part.
He's very polite, very young good man.
That's. That's apparently what Dutch people say to Germans is, where's my bicycle?
Oh.
Because when the Germans were fleeing Hungary, they stole, it was Holland, they stole all their bicycles.
Fuck off, no way.
Yeah, so if you're Dutch and you meet a German, you say, where's my bicycle?
Say it again in Dutch.
Where's my bicycle?
Oh, you just said it like,
hop aboard, I want to hop aboard my bicycle. 20 guilders. It's also it's like my friend double Oscar winner Christoph Waltz, he described Dutch as stupid German. I forgot what I was going to say about
he was now. Lovely Sebi Bikes,
he was very nice.
Hoppable.
And he drove a bus but this is interesting, he drove a bus. And I said, what's your route? And he said, he doesn't have one, that they put them on.
You do multiple routes a day. Yeah. He's like, otherwise you'd get bored out of your head. Whereas here, it's like, you have the same bus driver on the bus.
If you're on the 11th, you're on the 11th.
And it's like a badge of pride. Like, that's my route.
Yeah.
Wow.
My best friend, Harry, was a bus driver.
Tell us about Harry.
Harry Jackson. And he... He drove the 11s and the 79, and he was very. It was Jewish. I'm not saying this, but he was very fast. He couldn't use the toilet once. He needed to go to the toilet, and he got to Hyde Park Corner, and he couldn't use the staff toilets in Hyde Park Corner. So he left the bus and went home, and then went to the toilet. Came back and there were still people sitting on his bus. It was amazing. I was writing about it recently. It was because we used to go, he was at Hammersmith Garage. And Hammersmith Garage, what it reminded me most was a place called the Republic of Pirates, which is a sort of a Nassau in the sort of late 17th century when it was taken over by pirates. I mean, it was all races and sexual inclinations and stuff. But it was what the people, they were so wild.
In the bus station.
In the bus station, the drivers and the... there was a pub that there was a pub next door.
Why does they
get tanked up before they took their route master out and stuff like that?
Why does him being Jewish mean he couldn't use the toilet? Please.
Well, that's the campaign against anti-Semitism. Can you say Jewish? I mean, Jewish, what do you think about this, Linda? Should I proceed with this or just? Well, it is a bit of a Jewish thing, isn't it? Being finicky about the toilets. I mean,
it's not like
like a Jerry Seinfeld. You know, like he's changing the lace on his shoe in one episode because it touched the floor of a men's room, and
right.
So he's throwing it away. I think it is a It is. You can't say it is a Jewish thing.
I thought it was like a Jewish rule.
I just think a lot of Jewish people. And are I
just kept thinking of
toilets,
circumcisions,
really.
And I was like, why does that?
No,
I couldn't get it. I was like, what?
No.
Okay.
I'll tell you. I'll tell the other story about. I mean, one of the stories that well, it's over Rootmaster, and.
That's just good. I like the
details.
And with
the Perkins diesel engine, or the AEC direct injection with a pre-selector box. And his conductor was a Bangladeshi guy called Tar Mohammed. And one, they were driving past the Iranian embassy. I think this was before the siege. Before they got your dad. And... And some racists attacked Tar Mohammed.
Oh no!
And so Harry got out the cab and fought side by side with Tar Mohammed. And the police who were guarding the Iranian embassy wouldn't do anything; they just let them. Finally, another police came and arrested Harry and Tar Mohammed. And they were actually up in Horse Ferry Road Court for assault.
Fuck.
For defending themselves. Now Harry was then. From then on, he was a kind of honorary member of Tar Mohammed's family. And remember him telling me one story that, Tar Mohammed's mother used to phone Bangladesh every day, which in those days was really expensive, you know. And they couldn't get her to stop because she couldn't understand that you wouldn't just be able to bribe somebody in the phone company. They're like, Mom, stop phoning Bangladesh. I mean, it's like you can do, it's free now. I mean, everything's free. And you call the moon and it doesn't cost anything. But, you know, it used to cost a lot phoning abroad. Yeah. So she used to phone Bangladesh every day.
And it cost hats off to Harry, man.
That's, yeah. Yeah, no, it was a very moving story, I think, really, him and his
he's fucking racist, man.
Yeah.
It was bad back then, but you see Tommy Robinson kicking off again.
No, I didn't.
He's like targeting the demonizing the Deliveroo riders and the Just Eat delivery people and saying how they're all illegal asylum seekers, working illegally, not paying any tax, claiming benefits and then earning 700 quid a week, he's claiming that they earn from delivering fucking pizzas to annoying people. And people are like believing him because obviously there are rules, they have to pay their taxes. Like there's loads of. I tried to do a Deliveroo driving and there were so many forms to fill in, I couldn't be asked in the end. When we got those Chinese bikes for the YouTube, I was like, let's make use of this electric bike. And
So anyway, about this new party.
You're obviously a Tommy Robinson fan.
Did I tell the story of when I was having a coffee with a couple of friends?
Yes.
I told that story.
Oh, with Jeremy. We've been asking on the podcast for weeks. When are you going to start this party? Yeah. When are you going to start this party? They finally made an announcement. What were your initial feelings, I guess, is my question.
Well, it still seems like I would have liked to have seen a full...
Something a bit more solid.
Something a bit more solid, really. Yeah. I mean, it's a start, I suppose, but I mean, it's, we need to, you know, it needs to happen very soon, really.
It seems like there's still I mean,
we sort of joke on the point that Jeremy hasn't, you know, he wants to talk to everybody, ask everybody's opinion, really. Whereas I think that you just have to get it up and running. And I hope it comes into being soon. And I hope, you know, I hope that young people flood into it and take it over, really.
Well, do you think, Ian from Iceland asked, do you think once it does happen, are these accusations of anti-Semitism against Jeremy Corbyn going to come back? And are they going to try and use the same old tactics they used to take him down first time?
That was the other thing about Dutch accents that I remember. that I was watching Arnie Slot talking about, and there's a guy who plays for Liverpool called Ryan Gravenbach. And so he said, so Arnie Slot was talking about, and he said, so anyway, you know, I brought on... Waarin gelden de huurgag. What? I'm either really on it tonight or completely off it. I'm not entirely sure which this is really. What?
The whole fucking anti-Semitism shit. Right. But I guess it was more potent before when he was leader of Labour Party. But now they're going to be this new party. It won't matter as much, I guess.
No, because obviously there was a tremendous amount of treachery that he had most of the MPs were against him. The people who were employed by the Labour Party were plotting against him. And it would be a lot easier now. And I think that accusation, really, I mean, that accusation of anti-Semitism has been thrown around so much that it is finally starting to lose its effect, at least with the public, I think. I mean, I don't think the public believe it. I think it's still used as a kind of a tactic by, you know, the media and the power elite and stuff. But I think that I don't believe that the public will. And then they tried it with Mamdani, didn't they, in New York, and it didn't work at all, really. But Linda was, I mean, you were saying that. It's one of the things, though. One of the things that you are. I mean, even though obviously starting off with a party that is. Starts from scratch, that there will still be people in it who are spies.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there will already have been planted that they're spies. And we are seeing signs of that by the leaking already. And it's a difficult thing. You can see why, you know, Stalin killed everybody.
Yes.
Kind of reasonable, you know what I mean? Because, like.
You can see, you don't agree, but you can see why.
I can see, reasonable response to internal sabotage, really. And I was also I can say this, but I was talking to the guy who published, not Helen Steele, but the other woman who's just written a book, very good book about being with the police spy, Mark Kennedy, spy cops.
Yeah.
And she didn't include it in the book, but he was telling me that point, you know, this was, you know, policemen who had relationships with activists in the early 2000s, even, you know, fathering babies and stuff. Yeah. But at one point, what? Really? You just heard about that?
Yeah.
Really? Are you shocked?
I just kind of expressed a bit of
ooh. Okay.
Yeah. verbal outburst from someone in the front row there.
But she apparently at one point to kind of, I thought that would be that kind of response would be more to like the ugliness of somebody's trousers, kind of. Ooh, I don't think.
I think it was a fair response. It's gross. So these coppers infiltrating protest groups, and then
you think like ooh is quite the right response. I don't know. It's more like some kind of satin underpants. I would go ooh. I think. Infiltration by police agents. There was story was that this Mark Kennedy, the particular guy, he decided one day to blend in a bit more, that he would get some tattoos.
Okay.
But he didn't know what to get, so he just got like a random load of tattoos.
Oh,
like he got the coin from Jack Sparrow's coin. The woman in the tattoo place, you know, that.
So he's just got, like, love and hate on his knuckles.
He's got like love and Greg's or something. It's just got like random shit. Just because he thought he would blend in, you know.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, I don't know, it's not true then, was it? But the sign that they're a police, that they're a narc, if they had a van, that was always a bad sign.
Right.
Because they could say, well, I'll drive you home. Yeah, find out where you lived. And so I suppose every postman is an undercover policeman. Every DHL driver. And, stuff like that. It will be a problem, I think. Really.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. And now considering what, imagine if they, if they're capable of that, what's going to be happening moving forward? Yeah, considering all this shit.
Yeah.
That fella who said ooh in the front row.
Yeah.
It's part of my improv team.
Oh, right.
Got a couple of my improv mates here.
Oh, right.
So you can berate them to their face if
well, you
like.
Know, we said with Dave, if you listen to the podcast where he said to me, I think it was the first one where he said to me, he said to me just before we went out, he said, I've got your back, which is apparently, he said to me, he said, have you got my back? I said, fuck no.
As you have seen multiple times today. And I would have it no other way, Alexi. I have, you know, I love you, man. And it is an honor to fucking get to do this show with you. And you're like, and one of the fucking real ones who speaks out and hasn't changed politically over the fucking decades. And it's just fucked that we can't just say what we really want to be saying right now. But it is great to get to do this show with you. I don't know why I got sentimental there. Tommy Robinson, Nigel Planer has got a memoir coming out this year.
Yeah.
Did he talk to you and get some memories off of you? And off of,
No, but then I didn't talk to him either when I did mine. So, no, it'll be all about Nigel, really. I mean, which is
fair enough.
It's his memoir. Oh, I'm being catty. Yeah, his memoir, Proust's memoir. It was all about fucking Proust. The wanker.
Let's get a question from the audience.
Yeah,
but we've has anyone got a question to chuck at us? Yes, over there.
Thank you.
I have a dream guest on the podcast.
Oh. A dream guest on the podcast.
I'd love to get Linda on the show. Proper.
I wouldn't I don't double Oscar winner Christoph Waltz.
Yeah,
if he'd answer my phone calls. I don't, that's an interesting question which I haven't really got an answer. Who would we like?
You used to be like in love with Matt Damon.
Oh, that's right, yeah, Matt Damon. I still kind of love Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So get him on if you could fix it.
What about someone who's not alive anymore? But like a, like not necessarily like an actor or something, but like a, maybe a philosopher or a politician.
Oh, well,
someone you'd love to pick their brains.
Karl Marx. Me and Marx, oh, yeah. We could do a dance together, couldn't we? He did right. It's funny thing though, because we have had some fancy guests on the podcast, like, I mean, Lenny Henry, Lee Mack, people like that, Peter Capaldi, Diane Morgan, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, but they, that's some fucking great ones.
Yeah, it doesn't really make any difference to the listening figures, does it really?
I take the blame for that, I suppose.
Why?
As I'm not really good at what I do. It's okay. Kind of my to edit and make it sound nice and sell it and like market it. I'm not a marketer, you know. I'm good at the big aspects of what I'm doing, but the main thing I think when you make a podcast is marketing, and that is so out of my wheelhouse.
Yeah, we're both shit.
So we're relying on word of mouth and TikTok dances, and but you know what? You act like we get 5 listens. You know, we get thousands and thousands of listeners. Yeah.
I'll tell you,
I'll tell you, I wouldn't mind
having on is Xi Jinping. And I'd do me Chinese accent for him.
Oh no! Another question, please.
Oh, no.
Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it, please.
I'm gonna do it.
No. At the back.
No.
Yes. With the glasses at the back, please.
You are the chairman of the castle, did you?
Please, Alexis, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up!
Well, oh, yeah, with the cheap falafel. With the,
oh, yeah, I gave you a tip about, did you go and do your offensive accent at them? There's a falafel stall in Berwick Street at lunch, and it's called Jerusalem Palestinian Falafel. Even though they named their stall after the capital of Israel, I don't understand. And I just go to speak Arabic to them and I get like a mega big rap for £3. Have you tried it out yet?
I forgot what you said. So I say, Kifa, Mahaba, Kifa Lek.
Yeah.
Effendi.
Effendi. A thousand welcomes, Effendi.
And then I could go falafel.
Sandwich, sandwich falafel. Min fadlak.
Min fadlak, min fadlak. Shukran.
Yeah. That's a no, it's a big fat no,
I did this on the radio, but it's, there's a place around me called King, near me called King of Falafel, not my king.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and why is that? Is that an Israeli run one?
No, no, it's just a joke.
Oh, it's just a fucking joke.
I won't pay. I still won't pay more than £3.50 for pilau rice in an Indian restaurant. You can still get like pilau rice for £3.50. That would be the maximum that I would pay for a falafel really wrap.
£6.
£6. Yeah, I'd pay
but that's really. Already kind of like because. It's not meat. It's so cheap to make. I wouldn't go any higher than that.
Yeah.
What about you? Anyone get any higher bids than that? Come on, we got £6. £6 for a lap. How much would you pay to change a tire, one tire on your car? What's the most you'd pay for that?
The tires on my car are very expensive.
Oh.
Because they're Michelin pilots. Right. So, I don't know. And so really fucking expensive. And fucking hell, honest to God. So... Cost of fucks like fucking £250 a fucking tire.
No. Is it actually?
I think it is, yeah. Or, I think so. I don't know why I'm doing this voice, but kind of fucking love this.
Because I'm really proud of myself today. My inner and outer Middle Easterner came out today. I had to change a tire and he tried to charge me £85 for one tire.
That's a lot for your
and nothing fancy. So. Thank you. And I stood my ground, so I normally pay £45. I couldn't believe my ears. But I said, no, I'm not giving you a penny over £60. I will go to the next shop. And he tried and tried. And I said, I stood firm. And then I got away. I got away with the £60 tire. So everything in this world is negotiable, guys. We had a question. Did we have something else?
Comrade G. The five-year plan. Oh, you let me do it?
Damn! Why did you do that? I'm gonna get arrested for other fucking things. Yes, please. How would you conduct the conversation with Xi Jinping?
Well, I suppose it would have to really do it through an interpreter, wouldn't it? Really? I mean, well, if he, because he wouldn't really, I can't speak Chinese. I mean, I'll be honest with you now. I can't speak Chinese. So it would have to be conducted through an interpreter, I suppose.
There you are.
Yeah.
Go on, what were your...
He'd be impressed. I mean, if somehow he'd be like, fuck, he'd be like saying to... he'd be saying to like his aide-de-camp, he'd be saying, why am I fucking doing this fucking podcast? Because that's how we talk. He's from northwest of China. He says, he's like, why am I fucking doing this podcast? I've got like the fucking G20. I've got the BRICS, I've got I'm subverting the dollar economy, Why am I doing this fucking podcast? But then afterwards he said, I fucking enjoyed that podcast. He said, it was fucking ace. He said, that bloke is fucking clever. He asked me really interesting fucking questions. He said, Xi Jinping. He said, fucking great. Thank you for arranging that.
What would you ask him? What are the top three questions you'd ask him? How much does he pay for a falafel wrap?
you can get him.
And a tire on your car.
How much would he pay for mixed meat fried noodles? I don't know. I'd be like really. Be on it, I'd be fucking...
I know.
I'd get like...
I know. You'd prepare for that one.
Yeah.
I reckon.
Well, I wouldn't have to, really, because I know it anyway. I know everything about it.
I just... I'm going to produce something a bit shocking to you now. I know these keep fucking haunting us. I found another Lego, Alexei. It's the last one, I think. And we're going to present it to the Museum of Comedy, and it will be on display here at the Museum of Comedy. So, Alexei, take that. Ceremoniously, just kind of say a thing about it, and then okay. We'll pick it up later. If you want to see the last ever Lego Alexei, you come down to the Museum of Comedy and you'll get to see it here. I'm talking to the people at home. You lot are already here. We'll pass it around after the show and everyone can have a little look at it. Any other questions for Alexei Sale? Oh, let Ooh Boy, and then we'll come to you. Yes, my friend Salim from The Bazaar, the greatest improv team in the world.
Joy, who would be the comedian who got famous the same time as you, whose politics have changed the most, who is the least real, the person who would perhaps Talal would least like to be sat next to?
Fucking hell. So out of all of your peers who started out in comedy the same time as you, I'm repeating the question for the listeners at home. Who would you say their politics has changed the most? Who's the biggest traitor? Who's the biggest bumbaclot of them all?
Ben Nelson.
Yeah. Somehow saw that coming, yeah.
I don't know.
That's a tough one. You're asking someone to dog out his colleagues there.
I have done that story as well, haven't I? About when I, because I realized.
Done the Ben Elton.
I'll tell you anyway. cut it out of the podcast. You know, you might not. Yeah, when I used to say terrible things about Ben, and then I realized that, it was wrong, and I apologized to him. I said, the world's, fame is not finite. You know, there's space for both of us. And he was kind of shocked, and in kind of as a quid pro quo, he invited me to the opening night of his Rod Stewart musical, Tonight's the Night. And in those 3 hours, ladies and gentlemen, I paid for every terrible thing I've ever said about anybody. About anybody ever.
Fucking Ben. We should get him on the show. Yes, you had a question.
He's not honest. When you're doing your interpretive dances, what do you call first, the dance moves or the literature?
Well, it's interesting because we did the first three. It was very spontaneous, wasn't it? And then when we did the second three, it was really painful. I mean, we spent about it doesn't look like it, but we spent about 5 hours trying to figure out what to do, because it's a sort of the Marxism, obviously, I could do, because I know that, that's what I talked to Xi about, partly Marxism.
Yeah, he's got all that prepared already. He knows the three things he's going to say. But it's the dance.
But the dances.
Can I paint a picture for them? What happened that fucking afternoon?
Oh, it was really
In a thunderstorm to come to Alexei's house, and I arrived dripping wet completely. So I had to get naked. And Linda offered me a robe. And so I was sitting around Alexei's living room shivering in a robe. We're like, let's fucking do this thing. And we wanted to pick a different song.
Yeah.
And so we started listening to all the most trending songs of the time.
Yeah. We couldn't find another one that really worked like that appetite. But also it's a kind of, because the dance moves can't appear competent really. Because we thought about doing salsa, which I can do a little bit, but that didn't look right because I was too good. The dance moves have to look completely insane and stupid, really. And so it's a kind of a complex
proposition, really. Yeah, they have to look insane and stupid, but they also have to look like it's coming from inside.
Yeah.
And you were really struggling to feel any of the music we were playing.
Yeah.
And it was, you were pacing back and forth, and you would do a move, and I go, that looks good, do it again. You're like, nah. And after 2 hours, 2.5 hours, Linda walks in. What the fuck are you doing? It worked fine the first time. Just use the same fucking song. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. And I put Apatur on. And then yeah, Alexi was like, oh, yeah, there it is. And just had a fucking routine ready to go.
But it is, I mean, it is, I mean, it is also, I mean, it is a perplexing thing. I mean, being, I think we maybe do some more next week.
I'd love
week.
To, yeah.
And see if they still get those kind of, I mean, the viewing figures are still kind of going up. They sort of move as they move
They're
around.
They're getting
the world,
hundreds of thousands, man. Yeah. Yeah. And we're getting new followers every day. It's wild.
Yeah.
The dances, especially. Other videos we put up are getting like tens of thousands. But yeah, look at that. Hundreds, 200,000, half a million. Just a few fucking doing some fucking shit dancing.
But it's
it's so wild. So, like, we peaked with the 2.5 million one. No, we're not going to get that again because that shook the world.
Right.
People saw that video and like, everyone had to get eyes on it. Yeah. And then we've retained hundreds of thousands of views for the later one. So, yeah, I think it's worth doing again. Email us song suggestions that might inspire.
Yeah, well, I think try a different one.
AlexiSellPodcast@gmail.com.
But it's sort of perplexing because you can't, there's no way really to understand what it means, I think. You know, it's sort of... And it doesn't, I mean, obviously, the other thing is that you can't make money out of it, as far as I can tell.
yeah, I met this fucking agent at Glastonbury, this comedy agent from Avalon. And it was really, he came up and was like, are you Talal? I was like, yeah. And he goes, I know your brother's podcast. He's like a fan of my brother's podcast. He really pissed me off. But, and I was like, I need an agent. And he's like, yeah, well, so his advice to me, so he's like, comedy, live comedy is fucking dead. Why are you even bothering doing stand-up anymore? You should be doing Instagram. You should be doing viral videos.
Yeah.
Find your voice in that. Get your viewership. Get advertising, sponsorship. And then through that, you will get, we can book theatre shows for you and stuff. So that is just the way that new comedians emerge now. It's by, and you found such a unique, interesting format with those silly fucking dances. But that is just the way the fucking comedy world is going.
If I went out on, you know, doing a tour or something, whether that would make, whether people would travel from South America to see me. or should I tour South America? I don't know.
Tour South America with your dances.
And I could habla, puedo hablar español.
You got Hola. Money?
You got money?
Come to my show.
Te puedo llevar al centro, pero la cobra mal los domingos. Thank you. Good night.
Something else. Can I? One other thing that happened at Glastonbury I forgot to tell you was I got interviewed by the news, by AP.
Oh, yeah. Lisa
News.
Was, yeah.
Outside of the, it was during the kneecap, just before the kneecap show, there was this lady and a cameraman going around interviewing people and they were talking about kneecap and Palestine and all that. And but everyone she was going up to were like off their heads, like fucking shirtless, like scoundrels, like with shit wrapped around their faces, like glitter. And they were like, yeah, fucking kneecap, Palestine. I was like, oh my God. And so I had to actually just go, are you talking to people about Palestine? Can you come and talk to me, please? And we spoke for like 8 minutes. And the very first thing I said is like, kneecap's not the story. It's a distraction. The real story is the fucking tragedy that we're seeing, the genocide. And then I spoke about Palestine. Like, I teared up at one point. It was so beautiful. Like this, I've really got to get it all off my chest. And she said at the end, you're so articulate. That was very good. Thank you so much. And then Lisa Mayer sends me a video of me on ITV News. And it was just me talking about kneecap, though. Like, they just used the beginning bit. Obviously, they didn't use the actual. The point I was making is that this is a distraction. That's not the fucking story.
It's all a fucking lie, man.
So yeah, that's how the news works, guys. Any other questions for Alexi? Yes, at the back there.
If the Corbyn adjacent party ever does arise,
What are you going to call? It's obviously not up to me to. sadly, not up to me. I don't know. There are. I think it probably should.
Should call it.
Well, Jeremy. Wait, what?
New Labour.
New Labour.
I think it probably should have.
You shouldn't have the words party or socialist or labor or any of those.
What about mega?
In it, really?
Mega? Make Earth great again?
I remember there was a party in Italy which was quite successful called Sardines. I always thought that I'd vote for them because they're both probably, I don't know what their political program was, but they're a delicious fish when grilled. Which is a star. It's better than the Lib Dems, isn't it? I do genuinely think I have always eschewed party politics from when, you know, as a teenager and I was a Marxist Leninist. Well, I've always been on the left and done benefits and, you know, obviously I've never joined a party. But I think, I mean, shit is so bad now. And I will, when this party finally emerges, I will actually join it and I will be, I'll be a spokesperson for it.
Really?
Until I get too annoyed with everybody and storm off in a snit. I think that because we are so battered, you know, every day we face defeats, really.
Grasping at slivers of hope.
Yeah, so I think that I will, you know, in the twilight of my days, that I will go all in on this party. I will throw myself into it and I will, you know, yeah.
You want to stand for election or what, motherfucker?
Well, I don't think that, I mean, would you, I mean, I, no, probably
I wouldn't
not.
Vote for you, no. No. Not if you keep doing the accents, mate. This is not happening. Sorry. But your slogan could be, do you need money?
You
don't do that, he'll get angry.
I'll beat you later. Yes. In the dressing room. I just say to people, well, oh, fucking fuck your bins. I mean, I don't I don't care about your fucking bins. I mean, you know, if I was their MP, you know, I mean, that's the great thing about Jeremy. He cares about, I mean, oh, your landlord, your wall. That's just, yeah, don't bother, you know.
Yeah.
Just fucking sort it out yourself, will you? You know what I mean?
Sort it out yourself. Yeah.
Well, it means like the police did what you expect me to do. You know, I'm just your MP. I'd be like, yeah. I mean, I think I'd make a terrible MP, really. So, I think my role, this is, if there is one, is spokesperson who says confusing things. Probably, because I also have difficulty staying on message, don't I? Really.
So. I was just imagining that as your victory speech when you get voted in.
I'd like to thank Arnie Schwartz.
Fucking hell. We got time for a couple more questions. Has anyone got a question, if you dare, for Alexei? Anybody back there? Oh, come on.
I would have to go home early.
They've gone shy. We might have to go home early.
Does it really? could be an intense 50 minutes. Yeah. There's no law saying it.
Oh, okay. We've got one at the front. Is the new party really a viable socialist alternative?
I hope so. I mean, I hope so. I mean, there's a lot of thought gone into it. There's obviously been a lot of planning, really. What they're trying to do, certainly what Andrew Feinstein in Camden and Jeremy, is that they are trying to sort of do things differently, really, and build it up from the community, sort of, so power goes upwards rather than down. And that's a difficult task. I do think that you know, it's very challenging rather than just having, you know, I mean, the kind of, you know, what's it called, democratic centralism or whatever, you know, kind of, you know, where the power goes down, you know, orders come from the top to try and, but it's a very lengthy process. And again, it is also that thing about, I don't care if what you fucking think, you know, really.
Well, if you
I don't know. So it's difficult, really. But I think it is.
I mean, I do think, I mean, the only real, that there is, particularly, that there is a massive space, electoral yeah. space opened up, and space just that on the left, really, because, the Labour Party and Reform and the Tories are all kind of in this kind of this racist kind of corner.
Sardines.
And they're like sardines, yes. Mm.
And the lower classes as well. Like, that's why they're flocking to people like Reform, because they're the only ones giving them any solution to why their life is shit. Yeah, and their solution is hate brown people. Yeah. But I really feel like this new party would provide.
If you could speak to them, if you could. I mean, and certainly it shouldn't, you know. I think it's quite good that Zara Sultana will be centric, because she's obviously from the Midlands and stuff, so it's not London centric, you know. I think that's I think that's a good sign, really. And I know, like, Jamie Driscoll's been doing a lot in the Northeast, the Liverpool Independents, obviously people in the Midlands and stuff like that. So there is a potential for a kind of national base, you know.
And if you look at the volume of people at the Palestine marches and just how we know that the majority of people
and young
must
people
be
are,
furious with how our government is dealing with Palestine.
Young people are so disillusioned that I hope that they will flock to this party and join it and kind of take it over, really.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, so fingers crossed. I don't know what else, you know. I don't know what else to do, really. I don't know what else to suggest.
Could we have one more? Oh,
it's legal. Two more.
Yes, gentleman with the glasses, and then it's question time. And then the lady behind
do you, remember
please.
Remember what I talked about when I was on question time?
You have briefly, but tell us again, yeah.
When there was that, I said, because it was nobody ever said this before, it's a question about VAT on Cornish pasties. And I said, I don't care. Man. Like, that's the thing about Christian, you have to have an answer for it. I don't care about fucking VATs on pasties.
That's more important.
Never ask me back.
Yes, please.
I know you've got to be careful what you say, but what's the possibility of, say, people forming an organisation
calling
it a Palestine reaction?
I'll say this podcast does not endorse or support Palestine Action or any were proscribed organisations. I think that they're kind of, I suspect they kind of understand that, really. I think that kind of rebranding.
Yeah, the question was, could they just change their name and carry on?
I think certainly the
same. They've set a precedent now, though.
Yeah, I think that would be, that would be not legal, really. You would, the ban, the prescription would extend really very quickly to that. It is fucking extraordinary that we're having this conversation now, that we're talking about, the words that we could say here, could land me in court.
Yeah.
I mean, it's charged with supporting terrorism. It's staggering that we have got this far. And I think we've got further to go, unfortunately. Starmer, our own little fucking squinty-eyed Mussolini. the appalling shitbag that he is.
Hypocrite.
I never thought... You watch films about, the McCarthyite kind of purges in the United States in the 50s, and the obvious comparison is Germany or Italy in the 1930s and 20s, and you had to make a leap of imagination to understand what it was like to you had to try and put yourself when you're watching Cabaret or Mephisto or the front, films about the McCarthy.
It seems like this kind of alien planet. Like,
We are there. We are in Britain, there or thereabouts, really. And it is extraordinary,
Yeah.
I was saying about Mephisto, that in Mephisto, at least
the place where everybody could flee to was the United States. Well, that's not fucking on, is it, anymore? No. I mean, that's out the frying pan and into another frying pan. I mean, so.
Yes, please.
We had a council election on Thursday for Fulham and Hammersmith.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, well, that is. I mean, that is. I mean, that. I mean, that does. So 70% really. Over 70. I mean, yeah. If you could tap into those people who don't vote, then it would give you tremendous power. Is that what you're saying, or are you just moaning?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, but we have to, you know. I mean, if the new party has to enthuse those. Yeah, you have to go. You have to really consciously, I think, go after those people who haven't voted. You know,
yeah.
Before, don't vote. You have to enthuse.
And this new shit—they are going to run shit from the ground up. They're going to be weaved into the communities. And I'm afraid that's all the time we have. Fine people. I think we're still allowed to legally say free Palestine.
We are
free Palestine forever. Yeah. Free
Palestine. Thank you.
That's been the NXL podcast. Good night, everybody. See you later.
You've been listening to the NXL podcast. This show is produced and edited by Talal Karkouti. Music by Tarbush Records. Thanks to Audio Boom for hosting us. Please keep your emails coming in at alexiselpodcast@gmail.com. Goodbye.